chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the Mottawog, the Petaloomies, out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
How many eggs does a chicken lay? It lays an egg approximately every 28 hours for its entire fertile life, which is, up in question, depending on how you feed it, how well you take care of it. You know, I had one friend who had chickens who were still given eggs at age 11 and 12. So you don't quite know. That was, of course, our very own Norman Greenbaum, who is healing from a pretty bad car accident, but he's doing well from what I hear. Hi, it's Michelle Anna Jordan. It's Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming in the North Bay and beyond. Hope you've had a good weekend. I went down to Half Moon Bay on Friday, where the temperatures dropped in just a few hours from 88 degrees on a Thursday to a perfectly balmy 55 degrees on Friday. It was wonderful. It's really interesting to be down there. It's a really vibrant food and wine community. Just in downtown, they have two cookware stores. One of them is fabulous. I don't know how many bakeries. A wine and cheese shop with a wine and cheese tasting bar, an olive oil tasting room, huge olive oil tasting room, and tons of restaurants, two bookstores, a clothing store where I could have spent all of the money I will ever make for the rest of my life, and a number of other things. And they're also, it's a very dog-friendly place. I stayed at the Half Moon Bay Inn, and I didn't take my puppies, though I could have. They are dog-friendly. A lot of the restaurants that have patios, they have dog dishes right out there, so you know your dogs are friendly. They make a big deal of being dog-friendly at the Half Moon Bay Brewery. So, and they have fabulous artichokes. And by coincidence, the farmers market was launching its 2015 season while I was there. So I walked from my hotel. It's a good walking town. I walked from my hotel 4 or 5 blocks to the farmers market. And, oh, God, just got the most delicious artichokes. Really good. The kind with thorns, the really brilliant green Golden Globe variety that are very dense when you squeeze them. They're not like those ones that are being bred for not having thorns and are kind of, I don't know. They give a lot when you squeeze them, and they're just not very meaty. They're not very good. They don't cook up well. So it was really great. I bought a huge bag of artichokes. I'm having my own private artichoke fest at home. The one thing that I didn't have and that I thought about while I was down there with the artichokes was Haverton Hills sheep's milk butter. And we are talking today about the upcoming wool festival taking place, I think it's May 16th and May 17th. And wool, of course, comes in part from sheep. And before we get into the festival part of it and the wool part of it, we're going to talk with Missy Adiego.
Adiego.
Adiego, yep. I said it right, yeah, of Haverton Hill, which has what might be, I think it's the first sheep milk butter sold retail in the U.S.?
It is not. No, okay. I know of one other company. It's definitely a bigger, larger scaled.
Because I haven't found it.
Company that does it. We're the only Farmstead butter that I know of sheep butter.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I just came across you. I was in Oliver's. I was buying things for a photo shoot, actually. I was buying some stuff for a photo shoot. And I break for butter. And I saw this butter. It said sheep butter. And I looked. It's like, oh, my gosh, it's Petaluma. I bought some and I called you like almost immediately. And it's just fabulous.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
You're also selling sheep milk.
We do. We have three products. So we bottle sheep milk that's available in quart size glass bottles. And then we have sheep butter. And then we also sell sheep milk ice cream. We have five flavors. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we're going to taste a number of these things on the air in just a few minutes. Our other guests are here. They're getting settled in. Want to talk, before I go into the history of the farm itself, how are you involved in the Wool Festival?
This is our first year, actually. We're going to be one of their food vendors.
Oh,
so
great.
Both of our farms are actually in between the town of Valley Forge, so we figured it was perfect. We weren't here last year. We were out of town, so I was really bummed I wasn't able to attend. So this year, I'm super excited. We're going to attend, and then one of our new ice creams we're going to be scooping for the first time at the festival.
Oh, great. And then you have, if I'm right, you have like 400 milking sheep, is that right?
We probably have a little more than that now. Okay. Yeah, we have probably around 1,200 sheep, not including our, well, that's probably including some of our lambs. So we have a pretty large operation. We milk 300 to 500 at a time year round.
And you milk them twice a day?
Twice a day, yep.
And they give what, 2 to 3 quarts a day?
They do probably 3/4 of a gallon would be a good milking meal.
And that's compared to what, 5 to 7 gallons from a cow?
Yeah. Huge difference.
It's a lot less.
Yes.
Well, before I introduce our other guests, why don't we just give a taste of the butter?
Sure, absolutely.
Because I have to have some immediately. There's one thing, it's very pristine on the palate.
It is. You know, it's we've had wonderful feedback. My husband and I actually have done the food demo so far along with my mother-in-law, and it's great to get consumer feedback when you're first starting, just whether it be good or bad, and you know how to perfect your product, and we've had wonderful feedback, so we're really excited.
It is one of the most delicious butters I've ever had.
Thank you.
It is so good.
Did you want some?
So very, very good.
Thank you.
And now, is this going to be at the Wool Festival, or are you just going to do
We're just doing ice cream
just
at the Wool Festival.
The
Wool Festival, yeah. Butter's pretty limited. We make it fresh, so we sell out really quickly. Our orders get filled and go to the stores, and we make it again.
So. And here in Sonoma County, where you can find it, I know at Oliver's Markets?
All the Oliver's Markets, Whole Foods. There's quite a few markets that carry it. Best option to find the closest market to you would be visit our website. It's located by town.
Okay, it's so Haverton Hill.
HavertonHillCreamery.com, yep.
Great, and now I'm going to introduce our other guests and apologize for the getting the time almost wrong. Mouthful has changed from airing from 7 to 8 to 6 to 7. So y'all can get home for dinner earlier in the evening. And Paula might have... thanks so much to Paula Downing for pulling all you guys together. Anyway, we have Ariana Mazzucchi.
Ariana Strozzi Mazzucchi.
Okay. I had a feeling I was going to get this wrong. You are the founder of the Wool Festival. You also have the Valley Ford Mill.
Yeah, we have the Valley Ford Mercantile and Wool Mill. Mm-hmm. My husband and I, Casey, do that together. So
it's a great place. I did a story on it, gosh, almost, I guess, maybe a year ago for Sonoma Magazine. Mm-hmm. We also have Joanna Slissman.
Hello.
That right?
Joanne.
Joanne. Mm-hmm. And it's Wyami Ranch.
Wyami Ranch, yes.
And you have both horses and sheep.
Yes. I raise Romneys and Wensleydales, two breeds of sheep.
Uh-huh. And are they sheep that are bred primarily for their wool?
The Romney is a dual purpose breed, so it is used for meat and for wool. Mm-hmm. But the reason to have Romneys is because of their special wool. Mm-hmm. And Wensleydales are more specialized and uncommon in this country, and they're a long wool also.
And that's Wensleydale?
Yes.
Tell me about their wool. What makes it so special?
It's a lot like mohair. They grow it long, and it falls in corkscrews, and it has high luster like mohair. Mm-hmm. Romney's a long wool too, but not quite as extreme. It's a more moderate wool.
And when you say long, that means that the fibers
are very long.
And that, does that make for softer yarn? I'm just sort of guessing.
Not necessarily softer. A sheep breeder who's breeding for wool should pay attention to the feel of the wool. It's called handle. Mm-hmm. And that has more to do with the scales on the wool than how coarse or how fine it is. Uh-huh. So I'm careful to keep a good handle in my fleeces, so they uh-huh. they will feel good, but they're not really fine wool.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let's back up just a little bit and talk about the wool festival itself. And I know I wasn't able to go last year. Sounded wonderful. So what's happening this year? Why Wool Festival? Why Valley Forge? And what happens?
Well, we started the mill about a year and a half ago. And we discovered, you know, we had always just been mostly exposed to the sort of Dorset style sheep that are grace our area. But when we opened the mill, people like Joanne started coming in. There was a lot of other small growers coming in with this amazing wool that we were like, wow, like, where'd you get this? And most of the time they'd say Joanne Slissman. So,
guilty.
And I mean, I can, you know, we pretty much now when a fleece comes in, I can almost tell where it's coming from. But what was really fascinating was there's this whole world of wool that we didn't, as, you know, generational farmers and ranchers out here didn't even know about. I mean, Joanne does, but there's a whole bunch of us that have been growing sheep for generations, and we just didn't really. And so the mill has just taught us a tremendous amount about all the different other kinds of wool and the fiber wool and the fiber arts and in the front of the mill we have the mercantile store, mm-hmm. and we now have 50 artists there. Most of them are fiber artists. We also have jewelers and ceramists, and I'm just so excited about wool. I just can't help it. I mean, we've been doing our wool bedding for almost 14 years now, so we're not, you know, unfamiliar to wool.
Now, have you been selling that locally?
Yeah, we have, just in a smaller scale. So we would mostly like go to Gravesen Apple Fair. We didn't have, or at our ranch, we didn't have the mercantile. Mm-hmm. So when we opened the mercantile, we started, you know, having a real shop for our wool. And then in came along, like I said, about 50 other types of artists. And we wanted to specialize in wool. I mean, we love wool, anything wool. And so we even have some really amazing wool clothing from Rambler's Way that we're going to do a trunk show on the festival weekend, mm-hmm. with this all grown, milled, and made in the USA. And pretty much everything in our store and our whole emphasis is on locally grown, organic, and natural, you know, materials and things that you need. So our store is filled with useful things that you need that are also can be really beautiful, and mostly almost all of them are local, if not USA.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I found really interesting was the dryer balls.
Yeah, the dryer balls are kind of fascinating, and anything wool is fascinating.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just wool is just like I said. I have a saying. You know how they have the BFF, best friends forever. Well, there's the FFF. Fiber freak forever, so I'm definitely...
There you go. Well, speaking of fiber freaks, when I was working on the story for Sonoma Magazine, I'm going to forget the woman's name because I didn't plan ahead, but there's a woman who lives in Santa Rosa, and she felted a yurt.
Yeah, Heidi Harris.
Heidi Harris.
Casey and I, was one of our first endeavors into wool, even before we had our mill. We helped wet felt the siding of the yurt that she's going to have the yurt at
it
the
will
festival.
Be there. Oh,
yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
And if you have any interest, even if you don't have interest in wool at this point, if you see the yurt, you will have interest. It feels really good to be inside the space, and then the more that you find out about it, it just is fascinating. I could live inside that yurt.
Yeah, so the yurt is the Mongolians, that's sheep is their thing. So it's the milk, it's the meat, it's their housing, and it's their clothing. And so they've been living in wool yurts for forever. Mm-hmm. So we learned how to do that. And yeah, it will be there. And we'll actually have an additional probably 25 to 30 vendors outside. Missy and Joe with the Haverton Hill, we're so excited to have them there with their new sheep milk products. And then we also have the Green Grocer and Caesar, mm-hmm. with the bone broth.
Will
be serving us lots of delicious meals, including many lamb dishes, mm-hmm. and we'll have live music. And we're going to also have a lot of shearing demonstration and also some classes on Well, first it'll start with the shearing, then we'll do a talk about how do you classify wool or grade it, and how you mm-hmm. determine sort of its end use. I'll speak to that on Saturday, and then Joanne's going to speak to that on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And she's just a wealth of information. We learn a lot from her every time we get to hang out with her. And then we'll do a mill tour where people can learn about, you know, it's going from shearing, shaving the sheep, you know, to getting in the mill and getting washed and carded. And we now have an spinning equipment to make it into yarn.
Yeah, I heard, I think it was Paula Downing told me that you had new spinning equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have a needle felter.
The
needle felter was amazing to see.
We have a 10-foot needle loom, which is the only loom of its kind on the West Coast. And Joanne's been making some amazing like cloaks and saddle blankets and stuff.
Oh, look at that. Tell us what you're holding up, Joanne.
Well, I'm holding up a cape that I made at the mill. And it's wool and alpaca on the inside and dyed wool in stripes on the outside. So it's these things, it's like wearing your yurt.
That's a great way to put it. And you're unfolding another one, it looks like.
Yeah, so this is like a wall art or rug art.
Oh, okay.
Because we have 5 breeds of sheep. We have some of the Romney from Joanne's beautiful flock, and then we also have Navajo Tura, we have our Dorset, mm-hmm. and we have Shetland. But here, this is a rug.
Oh, and it's got a hummingbird.
And that's about,
yes, ready to nuzzle a flower. And it's beautiful.
Yeah, so that's some of the needle looming. We also have, this is a saddle pad. Joanne's made a lot of saddle pads, and this is a saddle pad my husband made for me.
Oh, that's really lovely. And what kind of wool is
needle loom?
And so that's from the needle loom.
Mm-hmm.
I like your design.
Casey did that.
Isn't that great?
And then this
secretly
is
artistic.
That's a piece. I'm making vests and coats as I find patterns mm-hmm. that are appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a piece. I've got another piece that'll be some sort of a jacket.
It's really beautiful. Done. Really, absolutely gorgeous.
And that's done with the back is Navajo Churro wool,
mm-hmm.
and then the front is the design is Targhee wool, which is two different, very different kinds of wool.
Uh-huh. Now, is that needle felted or wet felted?
It was wet. I have a wet felting table.
Uh-huh.
I wet felted it first, and then I took it to the mill and needle felted it to make it firmer.
Oh, okay.
It's a great tool for my wet felt, which I've been doing for years,
mm-hmm.
that I can take the things over there. I don't have to spend so much energy hand finishing them.
Mm-hmm.
Wet felt, getting it hard, is a great physical effort.
Uh-huh.
The machine makes it a lot easier.
It's easier, okay. We should probably, for people who don't understand what felting is, is there an easy way to explain that?
Well, yeah, the quick and dirty way to talk about felting is, you know, pretty much everybody knows that if they accidentally put a wool sweater in the dryer and it came out shrunk, that it's felted.
Mm-hmm.
So you can either wet felt or needle felt. And so what it does when you felt it, it creates an incredibly strong, durable product. So the yurt was wet felted. So it was a giant panel, so we had to, you know, put it out on tarps outside. And
so you start with a basic wool that's been cleaned and carded, and you add water and rub. Is that right?
Well, I'll let Joanne talk to the wet felting.
Water, soap, and friction will cause felt.
Okay.
So wool has scales on it, and the heat and the wet open up the scales. And the friction causes them to tangle, and they will never untangle.
So they'll tangle with each other.
Yes, they tangle together, and the more you tangle it, the firmer it gets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically what felt is, mm-hmm. and you're just controlling the situation.
And so when you have needle felting...
And hers is different. That doesn't...
Are you roughing up as you poke through?
Yeah, so like... You know, wool ultimately wants to stick together,
mm-hmm.
And that's why it makes a great bedding product. So it's not going to separate like down does, because it just naturally wants to stick together. You mm-hmm. don't have to work very hard to get it to start to, you know, really form together. And so the needles really have barbs on them. So our needle loom has 10,000 felting needles on it. So most of the crafters you're going to see at the Wool Festival have been needle felting with one needle.
Yes.
So our needle board has 10,000. That's why Joanne's bringing her big, huge panels to the needle loom. So, and so 10,000 needles, and they have barbs on them, so they stick through the... I should have brought one with me. It sticks through the wool, and it pushes the wool through. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a weave, mm-hmm. really. Here's another panel you can feel. This is a placemat. And a hot pad.
It's
and this
very
is several layers.
Strong.
Yeah, this
very,
is this is a particularly strong.
Oh, they're both beautiful. The swirl of white shades of gray, shades of earthy brown. Really, really gorgeous.
And here's another where it's a very firm felt underneath with a light
and these,
lighter
oh, these are
felted.
Fingerless gloves.
Yeah,
oh, for when you have to work at your computer and you need to type or use your iPhone, and but your hands are cold. These are adorable.
Yeah. Her, so the opportunities needle, are endless.
Her needle felting machine will work on any kind of wool,
mm-hmm.
but wet felting only works on certain types of
oh,
wool.
Really? Oh, okay.
There are certain breeds of sheep that don't felt well.
Uh-huh.
Those are the down breeds, which are common meat breeds in this country,
mm-hmm.
are all down. The down breeds, Suffolk and Hampshire and Dorset, mm-hmm. and they don't wet felt well at all.
Uh-huh. Now, before we sort of had this renaissance of wool products, talking to a few people, Deborah from Canvas Ranch, mm-hmm. Joe Posey, I think it was. You know, they talked about how two things. They had to pay to take the wool to, you know, I guess, you know, recycling center or, you know, city dump or something. And that sometimes it was used for erosion control. So it seems like there's been just this real transformation in first of all, seeing the harnessing the possibilities of local wool.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, like I said, I've been doing the wool bedding for almost 14 years. And
what sort of things?
We do comforters, mattress pads, pillows. I used to send it out to another mill to get made into yarn as well, and so mm-hmm. then other knitted products. But what's interesting is when Casey and I just started to open the mill, we did it because we had this beautiful barn that's right in the heart of Valley Forge. And it was big enough, and we always had a dream of having our own mill so we'd have control of our own wool. And also, we really, ideally, we want, because most of the mills, they either take a year to process your wool, or mm-hmm. or like Joe Posey's wool, is you know goes to, they ship it to Texas
right.
to get washed, and then it goes to another state to get carded. And we wanted to dramatically reduce the carbon footprint. So our mm-hmm. sheep grow a mile from mm-hmm. from the mill, and you know, Joanne's, you know, sheep are, you know, what, 10 minutes away, like in Occidental, so a couple miles. And so all of a sudden we're, you know, able to provide a service to all the local artist mm-hmm. wool growers, you know, that more, you know, that have these this huge variety of breeds and everything, to have their wool milled locally. So they can then make their products, whether it's a hand-spun yarn or a finished product like Joanne's mm-hmm. cloak, and be able to say, I grew it here, I milled it mm-hmm. here, and I made it here.
Yeah. Now, are you limited at all in the quantity? And I know that water is, you know, really important in the process. So is the drought having any impact on what the quantity you're able to do?
Not yet, because we're probably not at full production yet. But uh-huh. we also have been really fortunate that we got involved with a grant with the Goldridge. So they included us in the grant, which is going to provide us with a rainwater catchment system off of our roof, which we're going to be able to probably catch almost all the water we're going to need in a year, even if we like doubled and tripled our production uh-huh. level. And we will have some posters about that at the festival. Mm-hmm. I think rainwater catchment is an easy, amazing way to capture water for people that we just haven't been exposed to that much yet, but it's pretty amazing.
What a great thing to have gotten.
Yeah.
Cool. We're going to take just a really quick musical break here on Mouthful, and we will be right back with more talk about the local wool industry.
Telephones ringing, radio singing, a song I know much too.
pick up the phone, here all alone, who's calling, I really can't tell.
Hello out there, you know I was just thinking about you and I thought I would call.
He can't see tequila and me spending the night with the walls. And a figure he's thinking I'm here all alone with the walls and the phone, drinking my way to somewhere.
Hello out there, you know I was just thinking about you and I thought I
say about you.
Hello out there, you
know I was just thinking about you and I thought I would call. He can't see tequila and me spending the night with the wall.
It is Mouthful Smart Talk about food, wine, and farming. Tonight, specifically, wool farming, sheep farming. I'm just so dazzled. I wish we were on TV. The we're looking at three examples, three or four examples. What is this one here? This is the Romney, and it's multicolored. And before we go into the Wellesley Dell, I want to talk about the color. Tell me about the dyes to get these colors.
Well, I use commercial dyes. I don't have the patience for natural dyes and get all the colors I want.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do a dye pot with a lot of colors in it so they all blend, and that's where that situation
comes. Because we have pale, almost an icy green. We have an earthy reddish orange. We have gold with a little red burst through it. We have a beautiful teal, all just emerged together, and then they show up in the yarn in that way.
And I all came out of one pot.
One pot. That's amazing.
And then with the way I spun it, I'd grab colors and spun them mm-hmm. so that I could make the colors change the way I wanted. And the socks were done the same way.
Yeah, and the socks are multicolored, and I'll tell you, wool socks. I heat with wood, and so it's not every day that I want to build a fire. I cannot live without my wool socks. They're just fabulous.
Wensley Dale is one of the breeds that's noted for being sock wool.
So that's why
I spun that and had a friend knit those socks for me.
And then there's this shade, different shades of teal, turquoise, sea blue, and sort of sea silvery white. Tell me about this one.
Another dye pot. I make those up to sell. People want little batches of color. Mm-hmm. There they are. They can pick out as many little batches of different colors as they want.
Okay. So you sell your wool in a variety of forms.
I sell the fleece off the sheep, mm-hmm, as it comes off the sheep. I sell washed wool. I sell prepared wool ready to spin. I don't sell my hand spun because it takes too long. Mm-hmm. It's too labor intensive to do yarn, so I don't sell yarn. Mm-hmm. But I sell all the things that people need to do their own. Yes.
Okay. And then you also have horses, right?
I do. I raise quarter horses, and I've done that for over 50 years.
Really? Tell us about that. This is an Occidental?
An Occidental. I have Wyoming Quarter Horse Ranch. We had a Doc Bar Stallion for years, and so I raise mainly cutting horses and working cow horses.
Yeah, I saw that, working cow horses, which I'd not heard of before.
Okay. It's just another way of the horse and the rider having fun with cows.
Cows, yeah.
Yeah. And I trail ride, too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And where do your horses go? Do you sell all over the country? Or do you sell mostly locally?
Mostly in California.
In California?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So people who are raising cattle need horses.
Yes. People who show their... People show cutting horses, and show cow horses.
Okay.
It's their big industries, the show horse.
Uh-huh.
And that's mainly what I'm aiming for is the show horse industry. Mm-hmm. My stallion was shown, my current stallion was shown as a 4-year-old and 5-year-old, and he was Pacific Coast High Point cutting horse those 2 years.
Uh-huh.
So he's a very good horse.
Oh, what's his name?
Wyoming Matt Boone. And I'm still showing him.
You are? How old is he now?
Locally. He's 10.
He's 10?
Yeah.
And, you know, horses live, what, 30, 35 years?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a couple of 30-year-olds at home. Old horse home.
Uh-huh. Nice, nice. So I have this. This is Wyoming, another one I'm holding. These are shades of... sort of pink and fuchsia, well, not quite fuchsia, pink and coral, I guess you'd say. Mm-hmm. This is one of yours, right?
That's one of our artists. Okay. Now, she's a hand spinner and a fiber rider. She's also a felter, and she doesn't have her own sheep, but she buys fleeces and wool from people like Joanne.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sells her art, her finished art pieces and her hand-spun yarn in the shop, and it does very well. Yeah.
At the Mercantile.
Yes, exactly. At the Mercantile.
And Patricia will be at Spinner's Day on the Farm, too, which is an event that comes in June, on June 13th, at the Hessel Grange. Will be, I think it's our 16th or 17th annual, mm-hmm, Spinner's Day on the Farm.
And so at the Hessel Grange in June.
Yes. Spinners come and vendors come.
I will be sure to write about that in the Mouthful column.
Good.
As well, because I just think this is one of the really exciting things that's happened in Sonoma County, the sort of, I think, rebirth of the wool industry. I think it's really, really good for agriculture and farming in the county, and it's really good from an aesthetic point of view. It's just so beautiful.
Well, it's like I was saying before. I've really seen a huge resurgence in the last 3 to 4 years. I mean, like I said, when we started the mill, we had no idea that that this resurgence in wool had already started happening. But it's not only great because it's actually part of our local economy. There's a tremendous number of fiber artists all up and down the coast. Mm-hmm. But also that wool is not only the healthiest thing you can wear and sleep in; it's the healthiest fiber to produce. Because if you think about it, what does wool do? It grows on sheep, whereas cotton requires a lot of water. There's no chemical applications.
It's naturally sustainable.
It's naturally
because the sheep grow it.
And
it,
you know, I mean, we have a lot of horses too, and we've had a lot of dairy goats in the past, and we have the sheep. I haven't done cows, but we drive through a cow pasture to get to our ranch every day,
mm-hmm,
and I just think that the sheep are probably the most sustainable pasture management animals on the land that mm-hmm, we could have. Plus they're so multi-use. I mean, we've got milk, meat, and fiber for home,
mm-hmm,
for bedding, for clothing, what more could you ask for, right?
Yeah, and I think that once you really start looking into wool clothing, it's really a revelation. I didn't know that much about it, and I was writing another story, not related. I was writing a story about tiny houses, mm-hmm. the whole tiny house movement. There's this very young girl who lives down somewhere south of San Francisco, and we were talking because she loves clothes. We're talking about the whole way that she would, you know, downsize on that level. And she talked about how she only wore wool clothing. Well, what do you do when it gets hot? And she sent me to this website, and it's cute little dresses and skirts and tops that are not cold weather clothing. It's year-round clothing. It's clothing that doesn't have to be washed as often as, say, cotton and rayon. It lasts a really long time. And I was astonished. And then I think it was maybe last year, shortly after the Wool Festival, there was also a fashion show.
Mm-hmm.
With a wedding dress. I saw a picture of
a wedding dress. Came from, that was our wool. That was our Dorset wool, mm-hmm. that we washed and carded and needle loomed so that Hiroko was then able to make a wedding dress out of that.
I saw a picture of it. It was beautiful.
It was one of the first products that came out of the mill.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, and this shirt that I'm wearing is wool. It looks like cotton.
And it doesn't feel like wool. It's very thin.
It's like a cotton t-shirt.
Yeah.
I wear wool now, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, pretty much all the time.
And how do you care for it? It's something that can be washed by hand, right?
Uh-huh.
Will you wash it in cold water?
Well, this particular wool that I'm wearing, it's a long sleeve, looks like a cotton t-shirt. I can wash it, put it in the washer, and I can put it in the dryer.
Oh.
So there's certain wools that the way they've been processed, when you hear that smart wool, eco wool, it's been processed in such a way that you can throw in the washer and dryer. My preference would be not to even have to have it processed that way. So like in our mill, all the wool is simply put in really hot water with a little bit of Dawn soap. We never put any chemicals on it. And it's funny because we've been learning a lot, and we've been learning how many chemicals are put, on all fibers, mm-hmm. Fabric. You know, some days like the other day when it was really, really hot, mm-hmm. well, we had a lot of static electricity, and so the wool wasn't going through the carding machine. And so when we first had that problem last year, we called the textile engineer and said, what do we do? And he says, oh, well, just spray Syntholube on it. So I went and I researched what Syntholube was, and then I found out that literally there's hundreds of chemicals that fabric makers spray onto the material so that it goes through their machines quicker and easier. And Casey and I decided we were not willing to put Syntholube on our products because the whole point is to be completely natural, mm-hmm. and get away from synthetics and these chemicals that are really making people, mm-hmm. ill these days. So on the days where it's really staticky, we don't card.
Oh, I was going to say, you just wait a day or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could add some water.
Well, we've been experimenting with that. We tried the humidifier, and mm-hmm. now that's all the piping that you saw in the truck, mm-hmm. today when on our way over, mm-hmm. here. We're trying a mister system now.
And
yeah,
I wonder,
but we have to
be
really careful with the machinery because, uh-huh. it's metal.
Right.
So.
And I wonder if one of those machines that generates negative ions would work. Because if I have it right.
That's interesting, like those salt
little things. Something, yeah. If I have it right, doesn't static electricity happen when there's a high percentage of positive ions in the air? I think that's right. I find positive and negative ions interesting. Joan Didion wrote about them years ago in, I think, the White Album, and I just find it fascinating. So that might be something that worked, too, is increase the negative ions.
Yeah,
and
that's
that decreases
a good idea.
It.
I think we'll check into that. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. But our commitment is we're not going to
put the stuff on it.
On it.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems so counter.
Yeah.
Counter everything. That was an interesting noise.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take one more musical break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to go through the exactly what's happening, how you can go, times everything of the Wool Festival, which Ms. Mouthful recommends you attend. And we're also going to do a taste. We're going to taste some more. We're going to taste ice cream. Did you bring milk?
I did not bring
milk. Okay, so we're going to taste ice cream, and I'm probably going to twist your arm to give me another taste of sheep's milk butter, because I have to have some. So we will be right back here on Mouthful.
Yeah, is it?
Mm-hmm.
carpet vine grew in the kitchen window and bloomed bright orange on the wall. You sat in the morning light holding a guitar as the first summer rain began to fall. Like the gentle raindrops, your words fell in the air, making things so clear as we quietly sat there. It reminded me of other times you had come before and brought a song or just walked in through the kitchen door. Seems the truest words I ever heard from you were said at kitchen tables we have known. 'Cause somehow in that warm room with coffee on the stove, our hearts were really most at home. Sitting at a table, getting hard at you, catching up on stories of the things we tried to do. And it seems we really said the most when we didn't talk at all. Let the song speak for us like the sunlight on the wall. Come and go in sunshine and in rain. Some years are seen more clearly than the rest. And if it weren't for kitchen songs and mornings spent with friends, we all might lose the things we love the best. I can see you sitting there beneath the trumpet vine, sunlight through the window in the kitchen in my mind. You came when you were needed. I could not ask for more than to turn and find you walking through the kitchen door. You came when you were needed. I could not ask for more than to turn and find you walking through the kitchen door.
It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. It is Smart Talk about food, wine, and farming, including wool, everything connected to it. And right now you can just see what is happening here. Missy is scooping out her sheep milk ice cream, and it is just, it's beautiful. It is also delicious. I've had one bite. What's this colored one? That was the...
So that's our limited edition flavor, which is strawberry balsamic.
Okay. I thought it was... That's,
so okay. It's not in retail stores right now. We still have our coffee available. Mm-hmm. But this will be our next flavor. We're going to scoop it first at the Wool Festival, and then it will be available to retail stores.
Okay, and then this one looks like...
Then you have our vanilla bean.
Which is... You know, I don't care what people say about vanilla. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's very good. It's one of my all-time favorite flavors in anything. I love vanilla, and this just does beautiful justice to it.
Thank you.
And tell us about how you make it. What is in it other than sheep's milk?
So our ice cream is a low-fat ice cream. It's considered low-fat ice cream. We don't use any cream in our ice cream, so it's just strictly our sheep milk, cage-free egg yolk, organic cane sugar, and then natural flavorings. So we use, mm-hmm. Vanilla bean or dark chocolate is dark, just dark chocolate we make melt down, and dark chocolate cocoa nibs.
Excuse me.
Allergy season. It has that feel of lightness on the palate.
That does keep our ice cream extremely light. It's also low calorie, which is great. It's not a bonus when you're eating ice cream, I think, makes you feel a little better.
But it's just naturally that way, right?
We don't use any cream. So sheet milk, you know, due to the fat content in the milk, we're able to make ice cream without cream.
And tell us about that. Tell us about the, because I know one of the things that influences a milk is the size of the fat globules.
Yep, absolutely.
And if I have it right, some people who can't drink cow's milk are able to drink sheep's milk. Is that right?
Absolutely. So sheep milk, we can't say if you're lactose intolerant, you can absolutely have it. Everyone varies a little bit. But sheep milk is easily digestible to those that are lactose intolerant, mm-hmm. even more so than goat milk. People don't know that because sheep milk is new in the U.S., so mm-hmm. they're super unfamiliar with our milk. But other countries, obviously, they use sheep milk for that purpose and many other purposes. So the great thing about sheep milk is it definitely has its health benefits. It's double in vitamins and minerals compared to cow's milk. Protein and calcium is double compared to cow's milk. So it's a great alternative milk that's actually a milk mm-hmm. and fresh, you know, in farmstead. So that's something that we're really excited about. Mm-hmm. An alternative to goat milk, too. Because
and it's really familiar. And it does, some people don't like the flavor of goat.
No. And that's been our hardest feat, I have to say, because, mm-hmm. like I said, sheep milk's a new milk. So everyone will come up and say, no, thank you. You know, because they're so familiar with goat milk mm-hmm. and the tanginess with it or that aftertaste.
Yeah, that sort of earthy barnyard flavor.
It's uncomparable. Like I always tell people, it's a sweet, creamy, whole milk. It really is comparable mm-hmm. to like a whole cow's milk.
Yeah.
You don't taste any sheepy in it.
No, there's not that
honestly,
taste.
And honestly, I am really honest. I was one of those people that was like, I'm not sure if I want to try that. Uh-huh. You know, and I was like pleasantly surprised. And, you know, my husband made me. And then we're like, okay, we can bottle this. It's actually really good.
Yeah, it's absolutely delicious. Are you going to be serving the one flavor?
We're going to actually be serving all of our flavors at the Wool Festival. And we're going to be scooping. So you'll be able to get a waffle cone or a cup. And, uh-huh. you know, enjoy the little ice cream shop experience there.
Great. And it's taking place on the 16th and 17th. That's two weekends from now, Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
At the Mercantile.
Yes. It's going to be at the Valley Ford Mercantile and Woolmill in downtown Valley Ford.
If you go to downtown Valley Ford, you cannot miss it. Mm-hmm. It is not possible to miss it.
Right. You'll see this. Yes. And we, because our little town doesn't have a lot of parking, our neighbors mm-hmm. have graciously offered to provide parking. So that's free. The event is free to the public, but do expect a $5 parking fee. And of course, treat our neighbors respectfully because everybody is doing a lot to help us to be able to create this. And it starts at 10. It goes till 5. The band starts around 12:30.
Who's playing?
We have Free Peoples on one day, and then we have the Bad Apples String Band on another day, mm-hmm. which is a farmer's band. They're fantastic.
And farmer's bands are so fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's really fun. And like I said, the food's great. And the shearing demonstration, I think, starts around 11, and then we'll do some classing at 12. The mill tour will be 1 p.m. We will have a weaver and a spinner, maybe more, inside the mill. And like I said, we'll have the trunk show for the Rambler's Way wool line. The Rambler's Way is the wool clothing uh-huh. line that was founded by Thomas Chappell, who founded the Thomas and Main toothpaste.
Right.
And so we'll be having a bunch of his stuff. They've been really great and amazing to work with. And and then artists like Patricia and Joanne will be doing talking about just her experience and expertise in the wool, different kinds of wool, different uses, and that'll be on Sunday at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. That's a special
day at 2? Okay.
It's a special lecture that'll be after the mill tour.
If somebody, you know, is intrigued by this but doesn't have sheep, what's the easy entry level? Is it to buy a felter's kit and start learning to felt? Might it be getting some yarn and learning to spin, coming and hanging out at Mercantile, and, you know, what's that sort of easy access?
There's different options. I mean, those are all good ones. I mean, we will have a felting demonstration table. We actually have a felter coming from Texas as far away as Texas because she really wants to be part of it. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be doing a helping with felting demo, and people will be able to buy a felting kit. There's also guilds that, like, Joanne can speak more to about, like, spinning. And there's a lot of guilds mm-hmm. around where you can join clubs and learn how to spin. I'm still wanting to. I mean, I've spun a little bit. I wouldn't say I'm a spinner yet, but I'm still learning. And so there's lots of. And we do workshops sometimes. So we will be having mm-hmm. a workshop on Monday after the festival, so the 18th. It's a fairly private felting workshop with Barbara Atwood, who's the gal that's coming from Texas. Mm-hmm. And we just didn't get a chance to really get it on our website. We've had a little bit of technical difficulties with our website and lost of our web person. So the schedule should be on the website. But if anybody can't find it, they're more than welcome to. They can look at our website at Valley Ford Wool Mill. And also we have a lot of, Kathleen has been putting a lot of the artists that will be at the festival on our Facebook page.
Okay,
which
great.
Is Valley Ford Mercantile and Wool Mill.
And I will put a link on both Mouthful's Facebook page, and I'll also have the person here at the station put it on Mouthful's KRCB.org page so that people can, you know, just click through in that way as well.
Yeah, they can see a lot of the artists. We've been posting them every other day or so. And then Joanne, I imagine, Joanne, you might want to talk about your thing in June, because that would be a place for people to learn more about spinning.
People can come watch spinners. We might have a few little workshops and not mm-hmm. workshops, but demos going on.
Mm-hmm. This is the one at Hessel Grange.
At Hessel Grange. And we get sometimes 50 spinners.
Oh, really?
And people come and buy fiber. They buy uh-huh. wool. You can buy bats already made up, so you can learn to felt and have the bats already made. Mm-hmm. You can buy any kind of preparation you want. You can buy finished yarn. Mm-hmm. You can buy spinning tools.
So spinning tools, partly those are carters.
Carters and
a spinning
and
wheel.
Or
I learned to use a drop spindle back when I just really wanted to live on a farm and, you know, make my own clothes.
That's so slow.
It is. And I would lean over the back of the rocking chair and, you know, I never got very far.
Yeah. Well, that's why you get a spinning wheel.
Yes. Yes. What do spinning wheels cost these days?
In the $700 neighborhood for a decent one.
For a decent one.
You can get some for less. There are maybe $400 mm-hmm. If you don't want to, you can buy a hand card. You can buy a drum carter, mm-hmm. which is a home style carding machine, mm-hmm. a lot smaller than what they have at the mill. And less efficient, but those cost about $700.
Mm-hmm. So there's some investment
involved. If you are serious about it, it's going to cost you a few dollars. Mm-hmm. But it's a very soothing mm-hmm. thing to do, and it's wonderful to be able to create anything that you've got in your head, any color, any size.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to work with. Beautiful material to work with.
We also have in the mill, we have lots of yarn, all the way from the hand spun to other local yarns that have been mm-hmm. made, different colors. So if somebody wanted to start, knitting is always a pretty easy place to start, and we do have some knitting supplies.
Yeah, crocheting is even easier, I think. I learned to crochet I learned to crochet, and that was fine, but I have not yet learned to knit.
Okay, mm-hmm. yeah. And then we also have year-round all the range of fibers from mm-hmm. raw fleeces to finished pieces. So if somebody doesn't want to do the hand carding, they can buy carded wool that's ready to spin.
Ready, uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but the festival is just going to have just tons and tons of stuff.
Yeah. And again, that festival is coming up, not next weekend, but the weekend after. It is May 16th and May 17th in the beautiful little village of Valley Ford at the Mercantile, right in the center of town, almost across the street from Rocker Oyster Fellers. Mm-hmm. No charge, but bring your money, because there will be lots of things to buy, lots of things to see. It's just, I think, I'm so happy that it was successful last year and that you're now coming into the second year. I just think it's a great thing it's a great thing for agriculture. It's a great thing for farming. It's another reason that we want the sheep on the mountainsides. I mean, I used to have so many people yell at me. It's like, yes, well, all those beautiful lambs, but then someone eats them. Mm. I was like, well, I do a lot of things with them. Right. They cut their wool, and they make fabulous butter, and they make fabulous ice cream.
If nobody ate sheep, we wouldn't have sheep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It has to be an economic reason
exactly.
to raise them.
Yeah. Yeah, but now there's, you know, and I think for some people it's like it's good to know there's more than just, right. you know, there's more than just meat. But yes, it's an economic relationship.
We also, the Young Farmers Guild is going to be serving beer and wine for donations. So
what a fabulous group, the Young Farmers Guild. Yeah. They are great. I want to get them back on Mouthful sometime soon. Yeah. And on that note, we are just about out of time here on another yummy episode of Mouthful Smart Talk about food, wine, and farming here on KRCB. Have a great week. Don't forget to visit your farmer's market. Look for your Haverton Hill sheep milk butter and sheep milk. It is fabulous. If you need to get a hold of me, catsmilk@sonic.net, or just go to Facebook and put a comment on Mouthful. I will see you here next Sunday at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Grapes are covering the grassland. They're buying up for family farms. Selling out. Who can blame them? Wine's a cash crop growing strong. This land once open and free. Well, they got pictures in the museum of local color that used to be.